It's another one. I got that juice, juice. New AP. She got that juice, juice. She got that squeeze. She got that wet, wet. I'm on them skis. I got that drip, drip. I'm overseas. D-R-I.
I come into the juice today, a humbled soul. So, not only is it a losing Tuesday, past three juice episodes have been victory Tuesdays for the Packers. I come in today with an L Tuesday. Packers lose 34-31 to the Vikings, and it was definitely a game that I thought we could have won. I'll talk about it in a little bit, but I'll tell you another reason why I come in humbled. Not only did I go 0-4 on my hypothetical pick 4 parlay, my lock of my parlay was obviously Panthers over the football team. Said the Panthers have a whole different feel to this team with Cam back, and I just didn't see a way they would lose to a average defense and an average offense. And they did. They lost, and I had to apologize to three listeners that each put 100 on that game, and I will keep their names anonymous, but I apologize to each three of those individuals, if they're listening, for giving them confidence in their bets and just for their hopes to be absolutely dashed. I apologize. But, there is a but. I did not leave Sunday empty-handed. So you see, after I lost that bet, I felt like it was necessary to, let's say hypothetically I made a $10 bet to win $180. Let's say hypothetically that bet was Steelers to cover plus 7, Steelers and Chargers over 47.5 points, Denver Nuggets, Phoenix Suns over 208.5 points, Bulls minus 5.5, Knicks Bulls over 213. By the way, that score ended 109-103. That's 212 total points, and the Bulls won by 6. I literally won that bet by inches. Let's say I made that bet. And let's say I made $184. And let's say I left the weekend plus $120. Let's say I did that. Not saying I did or I didn't, but I'm just saying. I left with my reputation intact. No, those other three individuals, they'll never listen to me again when it comes to gambling. But I listen to myself. I'm the only person who you should trust when it comes to these types of situations where maybe I should not do hypothetical pick four parlay. Maybe I should do desperation pick four parlay. What if I did that? Because I've won a few bets where I'm just like, you know what, throw it out there, I've lost, let's see if I can make it back, and I have won. Maybe I should keep doing that, because I have yet to win on my pick four parlay. I mean, I'm going to keep doing it, obviously, but why not just do that? Well, then that segment isn't as good, and I need to keep doing this, and I'm going to win it eventually. But there's a couple lines that I like this week. We're going to do this hypothetical pick four parlay right now, and let me just say, can this be the week that I go 4-for-4? Most likely not. But it's always fun to try. So let's get it. First, right off the bat, I have the Lions beating the Bears. You want to know why I have the Lions beating the Bears? Because the Bears are a terrible football team. Justin Fields might not play. And Matt Nagy could be getting fired after this game. And now I don't know if that'll give the Bears a little extra motivation, but maybe it'll give them a little more motivation to lose. Even if the Bears win, there's rumors that Nagy will still be fired. But if the Bears lose to the Lions and give the Lions the first win of the season, then that's automatic. So maybe there's just so much going on in that locker room. I just don't. And the Lions are not a terrible team. The Lions have lost a lot of close games this year. Give me the Lions to win that. Next. Just looking through the archives here. Huh. Really don't know what I want. Do I go Colts over the Buccaneers? It's a +3 spread, and the Colts are at home. I'm going to do it. Give me the Colts to beat the Buccaneers. That defense is nuts. JT, obviously, he's going up against one of the best run defenses in football, but come on. A great battle between those two fronts, offensive line of the Colts and the Buccaneers front seven, takes the load off Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz will be able to tear up the Buccaneers secondary potentially. Carson Wentz is playing some great football. Why not take the Colts to beat the Buccaneers? They're one of the hottest teams in football right now. Let's do it. I'm going to these parlays with just the most open mind possible. Let's do it. We got two off the board. Heck, let's keep going. Packers over Rams. No. Packers over Rams. Yes, the Packers are in every single one of my parlays this year. And yes, they lost last week. But this game is in Lambeau, and Aaron Rodgers is coming off his best game of the season. And it's a pick 'em. That's easy money for me. That's number three. Number four. I feel like since we got to pick 'em in two upsets, maybe we should do a guarantee in there. What's my guaranteed W this week? What's a team that has no chance of losing? Huh. Do I bet the Panthers again? That pick 'em. The Panthers and the Dolphins is a pick 'em. Don't give me that stuff. Panthers over Dolphins. I don't even have a really that much of an upset this week. I'm just going to go, let's just do it. Packers over Rams, mark it down. Panthers over Dolphins. Let's bet them one more time. Colts over the Buccaneers. Go. And then the Lions over the Bears. Go. And I'll tell you, I hypothetically make $10 bets, and this is hypothetically $10 to win $174. That is most bang for your buck. Mark it down, and I am going to screenshot that baby. It's going to be perfectly set in stone that's going to happen this week, and I'm guaranteeing it. No 3-for-4s this week. Heck, no over-4s, which is what I did last week. We are winning this stuff. We are winning this shit. Not stuff, shit. Let's get it. Wow, okay. All right. That was a whole different juice right there. That was a very passionate, very optimistic juice. Let's chill. Let's mellow out and let's talk about the game on Sunday. Again, I do my takeaways every single week and nobody likes my posts on Twitter after I like my takeaways. Why not? They're very good takeaways. I watched the entire game start to finish and I look at every single detail. Why would you not like my takeaways? Twitter, get on that. So, reactions to Vikings versus Packers. This is me reading from the script. Best game of the season so far from 12 in the Packers offense. After a slow start with some shaky throws, Aaron Rodgers dialed in all game, whether it was his expert pocket presence or precise accuracy, and that's with that banged up toe. His pocket presence was perfectly fine. That's why I think people need to realize this. While the toe injury is obviously painful for Rodgers, I don't think it's going to be affecting him that much this year, just because he looked like he was moving just fine against the Vikings. So I think he's going to play through it, and while he's going to feel a lot of pain, I think we're going to see it from a fan's point of view and just be like, hey, he's playing all right. However, the Packers continue to be crippled by injury. Elgton Jenkins is done for the year. Rodgers has that toe injury, obviously. That's reportedly worse than turf toe. And who the hell knows when 69 will be back? Yosh Nijman played good, but when he came in for Elgton, he's going to have to play superhuman out of his mind until Bakhtiari can potentially be back. The Bakhtiari situation is really weird to me because we just found out that he actually got a second knee surgery, which is kind of holding him back. Did it fix the problem? We don't know. But do we now know why he's not coming back? That's good. It's good that we know why he's not coming back, so why he hasn't been back. It's good that he had that second knee surgery. But, man, it's really getting annoying seeing that edge pressure on Rodgers. I wouldn't even say it's really the edge pressure. It's more just like, it's just more these blitzes that people are drawing up, and I just feel like the Packers' old line, I mean, they're young. You got a second-year player and a rookie on your line, and I'm going to be honest, like they just don't pick up blitzes that well. And I'm looking at Royce Newman and John Runyon. Now Royce Newman has played better in the past two games, but I'm still like, it's definitely shaky, and the O-line is definitely good, and I'm kind of been spoiled by good Packers O-lines, but let's be honest, like, the Packers O-line is not looking up to par, and we all look at the injuries and stuff, but the Packers develop O-linemen incredibly well. And in order to do that, they need to be fully dialed into the system. And the system is being able to pick up blitzes, and Rodgers able to, you know, call out checks and stuff like that. That's able to, you know, make the whole thing run well. And the whole system runs through the O-line. So things need to be picked up, and things need to be cleaned up. Obviously, the O-line isn't playing terrible for what the injuries are, but it needs to be better. So I thought the run game wasn't terrible. A.J. Dillon played fine. He was doing his thing, breaking tackles, but really couldn't seem to break out a big one. I don't really have much to say from this takeaway. It really was just A.J. Dillon was doing his absolute best, and I think the run blocking has been worse than the pass blocking. A lot of times A.J. Dillon gets stopped in the backfield, and it's annoying because, like, yeah, he can break that first tackle, but once you break that first tackle, you're basically dead in the water for a 1 to 2 yard gain. And A.J. Dillon's better than that, and we know he can be better than that as long as we just give him the proper protection. And, alright, obviously the defense is the main reason for this L. Cousins, Jefferson, and Thielen diced us the entire game, but it can't be understated the opportunities the Packers missed on turnovers. Darnell Savage had 3 interceptions negated by an unnecessary roughing the passer by Kingsley Keke, a great play by Adam Thielen, and an unfortunate going to the ground drop. Not to mention a missed OPI by Justin Jefferson as late TD on Eric Stokes, and Rasul Douglas not picking off Cousins on a ball thrown barely above his head in the last drive. That put him basically in easy field goal range. This was bound to happen. The Packers have been without Jair and Z for most of the season, without Gary today as well. I mean, on Sunday as well. Yeah, obviously really disappointed in the defense for their performance because they've been playing so well this year. But yeah, but we got to realize that if a lot of missed turnovers, there could have literally been 5 turnovers. There could have literally been 4 turnovers all go the Packers' way if there was just a, you know, something here or there that would have happened. Darnell Savage literally could have had 3 interceptions on the day, and it just didn't happen that way. And that's football. So I don't think it was necessarily – I thought the pass defense was obviously terrible, but I thought the pressure on Cousins was all right. Preston Smith had a great day. Kenny Clark showed out like he always does. It just – the secondary needs to be cleaned up, and when you get one of the best corners of the NFL back, that's going to help it. So, yeah, not really much to say about the defense. They didn't play well. The secondary played bad, but they missed on a couple opportunities for a turnover, and that's really all that matters. And then Mason Crosby. He might just be done in Green Bay after this season, maybe even sooner. If this stuff happens again, missing 30-yard kicks that have massive implications on the game, if he makes that 30-yard kick, it's tied. It's tied going into overtime for Greg Joseph's kick. Like, you need to stop blaming the laces. The laces and the snap were fine on that missed field goal. You just missed it. And you lead the league in misses. Mason Crosby leads the league in misses. After being the most accurate kicker in the NFL the past 2 years outside of Justin Tucker, I don't understand how the kicking unit has been so bad. The protection's been bad, and then our long snapper is terrible. Corey Bjorkes has been playing great, but he's also had to bail out Steven Wirtle and previously Hunter Bradley for these bad snaps. Like, these things have to be cleaned up, and I don't understand how they haven't been cleaned up, because special teams, if you do your job, it will have no implications on the game, and that's what we want. But we aren't getting that. We're getting special teams mistakes that have massive effects on the game. And that just can't happen. All right, now that I'm done with the Packers rant, I decided that since, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up in a couple days, why don't I go over what I'm thankful for in sports? This is a sports podcast, and it's high time that I express gratitude, because there is a science that goes behind this, that the more you express gratitude, the more you feel better about yourself. And I'm going to express gratitude to the people that will never be able to talk to me, and the things that will never be able to talk to me. And that's right here. I got 6 different things I'm grateful for in sports. Number 1, Matt LaFleur. I cannot say enough about how much Matt LaFleur has changed the Packers in the past 3 years. In 3 years, as two and a half seasons as the Packers head coach, Matt LaFleur has lost 9 times. 9 losses in 3 years. That's 3 losses per 2.5 seasons. That's just insane to me. People take this for granted, but when you're a Packer fan, I know a Texans fan. When you're a Packer fan, you go into every game knowing that you should win this game, and you really aren't worried about. In some games, you aren't even worried about the L. And then going into games against really good teams, knowing it's going to be a great game, and that you got a shot to win. And then you got my friend Nolan Kubiak, who's a Texans fan, going to each game, know he's going to lose. I couldn't even imagine doing that. And Matt LaFleur, the past three seasons, has changed the Packers in a way where I feel that way about them. And he's changed our offense. He's revamped Aaron Rodgers, who was going downhill after his last year with Mike McCarthy, which I'm so grateful for. And, sorry, I realize I have that swallowing issue that people mentioned to me after the podcast, and I'm trying to do better. But anyways, I just think that we need to express more gratitude to Matt LaFleur. He's one of the best coaches in the NFL, is one of the best, arguably the best play caller in the NFL, and is leading one of the best offenses in the NFL over the past 3 years. It's really impressive, and I'm just so glad that the Packers made that decision to hire him, because at first I was a little skeptical, because I really hadn't heard much about him, and he was the offense coordinator of a Titans offense that wasn't good at throwing the ball, and he has completely changed our franchise into an absolute juggernaut, which we once were earlier in the Mike McCarthy years. But yeah, Matt LaFleur, I am thankful for you, brother. Next, this is not a person, this is a moment. I am thankful for the Badgers beating Kentucky. Let me set the stage for you. It's 2015. I'm in fifth grade at this point, and the Badgers are going into their second straight Final Four game against the Kentucky Wildcats. The year before, the Badgers are a 2 seed, and the Kentucky's an 8 seed, and Aaron Harrison of the Kentucky Wildcats broke our Wisconsin Badger fan hearts by making a 3 over Josh Gosser to win the game. Such a disappointing loss that I will never, ever forget. And then the next week, Kentucky is undefeated, going up against fellow 1 seed Wisconsin Badgers. There was no team I wanted to play more than Kentucky. And you might find that weird, but I'm just being honest. There needed to be redemption after that game the year before. And there was, and it was so sweet. Frank Kaminsky played the game of his life. Bronson Koenig, as a sophomore, was playing terrific basketball that entire season, and Sam Decker was literally God in that tournament. It literally got him and made him a lottery pick. That step back shot that Sam Decker had, the spin move to an and one that Frank Kaminsky had. I mean, I cannot express into words how much that game meant to me as a Wisconsin sports fan. They even lost the championship game to Duke. And I don't care. That game was my championship. I hated Kentucky. And they were undefeated. And fundamentals won out. And the Badgers took out Kentucky and John Calipari. I will never forget that game. And it truly was a cherished moment in my heart. Next. I can't believe I'm even saying this. But 2K. NBA 2K. I am thankful for you. NBA 2K is one of the worst games. Arguably the worst game in the video game realm. It constantly has lag issues. You are entitled to spend a lot of money on that game to be decent. And then on top of that, the gameplay is so bad and so terrible that sometimes I look at the disc and makes me want to literally just take a scissors and cut it. But that's not why I do that. You want to know why I do that? Because 2K has brought me so many beautiful moments with my friends. And so many great moments on the virtual court with my buddies. I got a squad. I got a 2K squad that I play with, and 2K somehow has brought me closer to each and every one of those friends. And it somehow is just that bad of a game. And it's like, think about it. It's a terrible game, and it's brought me so much joy over the past seven, eight years I've been playing it. You want to know why? Because you put yourself into the virtual world of 2K, and a person who's not good at basketball, I go in there, drop 30 on you, and it makes me feel like a sense of closure of my, terrible basketball skills. Like, yeah, I'm terrible at basketball, But why not? But I can go into 2K and pop threes and make and it makes me feel something. It makes me feel some sort of way playing 2K. Greening a three, dunking on someone. I obviously don't do that. That's not my build. But, and every single time you get one of those threes and you get one of those crazy plays in 2K, you and your friends, they laugh, you cheer, you scream, and you bond over the over this terrible game. And you say to yourself, yeah, this game may suck. This is my sucky game. And that's what 2K is to me. And I'm thankful for it. Next, I wanna say how I'm thankful for Giannis. Giannis was drafted into the NBA in 2013 as a completely raw project. And now has become the best player in basketball and scored 50 points to win the NBA Finals for the Milwaukee Bucks this past summer. I cannot express how thankful I am for Giannis, because that championship right there, that was the first championship that I've experienced as a diehard Wisconsin sports fan. The Packers obviously won a Super Bowl in 2011, but I was in first grade. The game really didn't mean as much to me then. But now, as a high schooler, as a senior in high school, you can't take those moments for granted. I don't know when the Packers are ever going to win a Super Bowl again. Heck, they might not win one ever again if Rodgers leaves after this offseason. And I may never get to see that joy again, knowing that your team is at the top of the world. And it happened this summer. And I feel like I don't talk about it enough. Giannis, you gave my team, you brought Milwaukee a championship. You brought Wisconsin a championship, a state that is clowned on by high upper tier sports media for being, you know, just cold, bad state, irrelevant. You know, all the sports teams that they have are in small cities. It doesn't matter. You want to know why it doesn't matter? Because we won the championship and we're at the top. And for that, I'm forever thankful. Two more. Braylon Allen. I'm thankful for Braylon Allen. Wisconsin has been blessed with so many great running backs over the years. Jonathan Taylor. Year before that, we got Melvin Gordon, James White, Monte Ball. Even years before that, P.J. Hill, Anthony Davis, and obviously Ron Dayne. And now we lucked out again by taking the 17-year-old from Fond du Lac, who I watched in high school, and he is now one of the best running backs in the Big Ten already at 17 years old. Braylon Allen will be a potential Heisman candidate one day. And now you couple him with our supposed savior at quarterback, Graham Mertz, and our defense that's always up to par, and our great O-line that is always we always get 4 and 5 stars on. You got to be loving the future of Wisconsin football. And Braylon Allen, a guy who decided to reclassify and not play a senior year at Fond du Lac and go straight to college, which for that I'm also forever thankful, because if Braylon Allen's at Fond du Lac this year, Nina doesn't win that game against Fond du Lac, which was a great night. And the Fond du Lac Cardinals are walking straight to a state championship with Braylon Allen. So, and obviously I don't like seeing my friends get massacred on the field when he plays. So it's obviously tough. And I'm very happy that now Wisconsin again has that workhorse at running back that will maybe potentially lead us to a Big Ten championship and potentially a playoff berth. We'll see. But for him, for Braylon Allen, I'm forever thankful. Next, we all knew this one was coming. Aaron Rodgers, I am forever thankful for you. Now, a lot of people know that I do love number 12 in Green Bay. He's just the greatest. Just such an absolute joy to watch on the football field. But then, not only that, just, he's been carrying my franchise for the past 17 years he's been in the league? And I shouldn't say carrying right now, but in the Mike McCarthy years, people need to realize this, that many times when the many wins that the Packers had in the Mike McCarthy era were almost solely on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders. And he is the reason that my team was relevant in the mid-2010s when I was growing up. I owe so much to number 12 in Green Bay. And I've explained this before to many people, but I need to really put it into words. when I look back at some of those Packer teams that Aaron Rodgers played with, and how bad those teams would have been without him, and how depressed I would have been as a Green Bay Packer fan knowing that, heck, I could have been, without Aaron Rodgers, I could have been going into every game with that Texans feeling that Nolan Kubiak has going into every game, that my team is just going to lose. But no, I had Aaron Rodgers on my side, and therefore, he gave me a chance to win. He gave my team a chance to win every single week. And you couple that with the MVPs he won us a Super Bowl. You just got to be thankful for that. The Packers are Wisconsin's most popular team, and Aaron Rodgers has been the leader of that team for the past, since he's been starting, 2008. Since 2008, that's a lot of years. And I really, really hope he comes back, and I really, really hope he realizes what he has here in Green Bay. He's got a loving fan base. He's got a great roster, a great coach, and a front office that, while they've been mistreating him the past couple months, for the past even year now, they want him back. Everybody wants him back. So, Aaron, I know you're listening. Please come back. We want you here. We need you here. You're our leader. You're our Iron Man. Just don't leave us. And that's how I'm gonna end this thankfulness rant. Well, that's just about it for our segments, but we got one more segment left, and that is my two special guests today, the Twin Towers, Eli Schmidt and JJ Piter. They will be on next here on The Juice.
On that. All right, cool.
Hold up.
All right, I'm going to restart the intro. So as I just previously mentioned, we have two guests today for the pod. We have the Twin Towers, JJ and Eli, for the Nina basketball team. Two longtime listeners and second-time guests. JJ, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Eli, how are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing just phenomenal. Thank you for having me.
All right, so, gentlemen, it's a very, very big season coming up. First game on Saturday, and you two are focal points of this team. So I felt that when I'm making my rounds, you know, interviewing all these players, I felt that it wouldn't be right to not interview you two. So I'm going to ask you guys some questions, some individuals, some that I want both of you to answer. So this one's going to be a two-person question. JJ, I'll have you answer first. So, this year, you two are playing together in the same starting lineup for the second time in your illustrious careers. How are you able to be so effective, and have you guys had to evolve your games to better your ability to play together?
Yeah, I think we're effective just because we've been playing with each other for a while. In elementary school, middle school, and then all of high school, we've been on the same team. So playing against each other in practice and open gyms, we've learned each other's games, and our games have evolved, I think. I don't think we were as good as we were now, even like 2 years ago when we were on JV and freshman. I think over the years we've gotten a lot better, and it's good to see us get better together.
All right, Eli?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, we know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and, you know, it's been fun playing with each other, but, like, especially, you know, Coach Rubbis always tells us to look for each other because, you know, we both usually find ourselves in the paint, and we can, you know, dish it off to each other because we both trust each other that much because of our experience playing together.
So, you know, yeah, I've been watching you guys play for a very long time, and it's so obvious that both of your games have evolved, and I'm going to talk about that evolution right now. So, JJ, you've grown from a big man to a big guard, as people like to call it. How has that transition been for you? Because in middle school, you kind of just like sat in the paint. You were the tallest guy out there all the time. Now you've evolved in your shooting and your ball handling. How's that transition been for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun. I think when I was in Hoops Club, there wasn't really much trust in me. So, you know, just put the big kid down low and just have him be a big guy. But I think now that I've gotten into high school with my high school coaches, my AAU coaches, they put a lot of trust in me. So it's allowed me to expand my game, not just being a big man, you know, like you said, being able to dribble and shoot. And it's been fun because, I mean, sitting down low isn't always the most fun, but
you're basically everywhere.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Yeah. Sorry, we kind of lagged a little bit there. Anyways, Eli, now I'm going to ask you about your evolution. I've never seen a jump in play like your jump from freshman to sophomore year. You improved in basically every aspect of your game, and you got bigger. It's just great. It was great to see you evolve as a player. Basically, what I asked is, what happened there? What happened? Like, how'd you improve in your game in all those facets?
Yeah. So from freshman to sophomore year, I just think my work ethic changed, and that's kind of due to, you know, Max was a senior at that time, so he forced me to be in the gym, and then, you know, I kept doing it on my own. But one of the big things was obviously the weight room during the summer, and then in the springtime, kind of, I hit the weight room a lot. So now I got a lot stronger and got in the gym, got my shots up. So, you know, I think it was pretty much just my work ethic changed.
Yeah, that's definitely important. So this is a two-part question again. So you both were playing varsity full-time last year, and last year the crowds were not even really existent. How excited are you both to finally play in front of varsity crowds? Eli, I'll ask you first.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty surreal because we had, obviously, regular season, it was very, and then playoffs, it kind of got, we had a little bit more fans, and just like that many fans was crazy to play in front of. I can only imagine, you know, what full fans is gonna bring to us. But just seeing, like, you know, I've been to a few volleyball games, and even the phase one game, the amount of fans, or even it's the amount of fans that is just gonna, it really puts into perspective how many games, and it's gonna be a lot of fun to play in front of.
Oh yeah, and JJ, you gave me inspiration for this question. I mean, you talked to me about how, like, this is your first time playing in a varsity against, like, with a varsity crowd, and like, how excited are you for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's my senior year, and it's gonna be my first time playing varsity, but I mean, playing varsity with real fans. It's just gonna be a cool experience. I mean, I grew up watching Nina basketball, you know, the Matt Held days when they were playing a packed gym. I mean, that's just, it's such a cool experience. And I mean, I can't really say how it's going to be, but I'm definitely excited to hopefully pack the stands and have a good year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, JJ, you started growing a mustache recently, and obviously when you're out on the varsity floor, the opposing student section is always going to find different ways to poke fun at you or poke fun at anyone. So how are you going to block those haters out, knowing that there's a very good chance that they're all going to be coming at your mustache?
I think the biggest thing is just preparing for it. I mean, obviously, not many people think it looks good. It's definitely bold. So a lot of people are going to call me out for it. I think the biggest thing is just going to be blocking it out. I mean, I've made this my decision to grow it, so I'm going to have to live with whatever comes to me. And I guess the biggest thing is just going to be blocking it out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you already get enough talk from your friends about it. I feel like you're kind of used to it at this point.
Yeah.
Now, Eli, you're kind of known for your on-court, you know, celebrations. You usually baby someone and get a big N1 or anything like that, and you let them know. So, Eli, after you absolutely baby someone or get a big N1, what's going to be your signature move? Have you ever thought about that? There's crowds. You got to hype them up at some point.
Yeah, you know, I mean, first off, going back to the last question, I'd say I'm not a mustache hater. I'm actually a mustache lover. I love the mustache. But coming to my question, you know, the Rock the Baby, Russell Westbrook does it. That's always a classic. Maybe just a little flex. But, you know, other than that, I'm just going to let my game do the talking, kind of let the crowd run my adrenaline.
Oh, yeah. You know, I absolutely love that answer. And obviously, you know, with the crowd after and ones, you're going to be right next to the student section. You're going to be able to dap some people up, you know, get the –
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, who's not excited for the game on Saturday? Big game. And then last question for both of you. JJ, I'll let you answer first. What's the key to getting this team to Madison at the end of the year?
I think the biggest thing is just working together. We've got a lot of talent, probably one of the more talented teams out there. I think the biggest thing is just going to be, you know, staying together, not letting ourselves shoot ourselves in the foot. I mean, When we're working together, there's not many teams that can stop us. You know, it was even in the fall, like we blew out a lot of good teams just working together. I think, you know, just avoiding all distractions and just working together as a team is the biggest thing. And I think Eli can agree with that.
All right, Eli, your floor is yours.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. I think once we play as, you know, a closed fist instead of a bunch of separate guys, we're a lot more effective. But for some reason I've noticed that we play a lot differently in game than we do in practice because I don't know, I just feel like in games we all like we all decisions and we all play more as a team. Like we went to last play all pretty phenomenal. We really couldn't be stopped. So you know, once we get on the game floor and we're playing another opponent that doesn't really know our techniques, our moves, I think we can be really, really solid.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I wish you guys all the best of luck this season. I'll be at every single game, and I'll be cheering you both on. And, yeah, I totally agree with you guys that the end goal for this team is the Kohl Center, and to do that, we just got to play as a team and work together. So appreciate your time, and I'll have you guys on again soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Bruce.
Thirsty, thirsty, trying to choose. I mean, I know I'm critical. My neti bag, my kitty boots. I got the juice, I got the juice.
Geno, Chatham's on. Foolie's glad I'm on. Even my haters kinda glad I'm on. Rest in peace to my...